Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and we're so glad you tuned into your show, Raising Expectations. And we're here to see just what God can do working in all of our lives. You know, we're all born again, blood-bought believers. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins. Greater than that, he washed them away and he rose from the dead and he's coming again someday just for us. But in the meantime, he walks with us and he talks with us. And every day you commune with him, he tells us, you're his own. So we know someone who's in charge of everything knows how to be in charge of our life. And it's often said, if it's big enough to concern you, I'm so thankful to let you know it's big enough to concern God, and he'll raise your expectations on whatever it is that you're facing, and he'll show you how to do it. He'll walk you through it. And in the end, you give him the glory and strap in and hang on for what he's going to do next. We're excited about our program tonight. We're always excited to be with you on Raising Expectations. And again, we thank God that you're with us. Thank you for the things that you send us, for the texts and the emails and the things I've been praying for you with. I know all of us are praying for you in different ways. We hope God's working in those. And I praise God for the answers you've given me. Some of you, God's working in wonderful ways in your lives. And it's always encouraging to each of us to know what he's doing. So we're going to move right along tonight because we've got one of your favorites in our family that's going to be with us tonight and be with you. And this means being recorded. So I'm going to hit my blue OK button. I'm very high technical. I can talk to you and also figure out what I'm doing at the same time, some of the time. So in any event, we're going to move right along tonight. We've got people on our staff that you know, our team, our family. They're the most wonderful people you could ever meet. Pray for Dr. Paul. He's not with us tonight. He has some family business he's having to deal with to help his family, and he won't be with us tonight, but you all know Dr. Paul. He's here from the West Coast in Santa Barbara area of California in Lompoc, and you won't meet another guy like him. He is a theologian. He's a great teacher. He's a pastor. And most of all, he helps people everywhere he meets them. Everybody loves Paul Hall. So we're praying for him tonight. And Paul, if you're watching there from the Missouri area, that we're just praying for you. We miss you. We're praying for your family too. And we love you in the Lord. So we'll miss you. We'll see you when you get back. And if we go from there all the way across to the east side of the south, or the south part of the east, whichever your perspective might be, we'll find there in Dalton, Georgia, two of the most wonderful people you'll ever know. That's Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Steph Thayer, as you know, we tell you every week because I still have people every week that ask. And I'm so glad you ask, because questions get answers, and answers hopefully enlighten, and enlighten encourages. So Stephanie is about the best, we believe, of the whole world when it comes to being a health and wellness coach. She knows how to get you in shape and what you need to do to understand who you are and to be able to come all that you want to be, taking care of your health. And beyond that, she also takes care of helping so many women across this nation with needs in their lives and things that they're praying about. She has become a great friend and counselor and confidant to people, ladies who she ministers to all over. She's got a website. You don't want to miss this. Jot it down. Live Your Life Out Loud. Live Your Life Out Loud. Did I get it?
We're laughing because it's not working again. So,
it's not working
again.
Website,
in theory. For now, you can find me on social media. How about that?
Surprise. There you go. I was going to tell you there's a test on it next week, and if you get it right, you win a free book or something. But anyway, here it is. Live Your Life Out Loud. Here's the things that she does. She helps people everywhere. You just got to, if you're late tonight and you've got a question, some of you have texted me and I've sent her a number to you. give Stephanie a call and share with her and become a part of that group of wonderful Christian ladies and ladies finding Christ through her ministry that that you could be a part of. So Live Life Out Loud. There it is. You're going to find it. It's on our website. Sitting to her left is the best surgeon you're going to find anywhere in the nation. And that's him right there. That's Dr. Tank Thayer. He is a surgeon extraordinaire. He's a trauma surgeon, the kind that they ask questions of when they don't know what to do. So tell you what, he's going to take care of me someday. I've already put it in the will. And so he's going to take good care of me. But anyway, he is a trauma surgeon. And beyond that and all that he's done there, he is also an author. He wrote the book called Saved. Saved is his new book, and it's called Feeling or Finding Rather God in the Ordinary Things of Life. One trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles that you find in his life, and that's called Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary Events. And I say it every week because all of you text it to me every week. God works in the ordinary things of our life. And when you see his power lighten up the darkness of your questions, all of a sudden your life takes on a whole new meaning. You want to read Saved, you'll find it there. You can find these books on our website, which is, there's my book also, Legitimate Faith Produces Authentic Hope. This is the third edition. It's got the whole story about the team here. It's all about raising expectations. There are a couple of chapters there. You'll find stories in there all about that also. Endorsed by Zig Ziglar, who is my mentor, a very special man. And we'll all see him again someday when we get to heaven. But you'll find that on bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you'll want to go there and you'll read about what we stand for, who we are, and you'll find out other things there. There's our list of our guests that we've had. You'll find them listed there for you. All you got to do is go on there, click on it. You can watch our shows 24/7, 7 days a week, anytime that works for you. A couple of you have texted me and let me know that we didn't have time to catch the show, but we just catch you during the week. We go on the website and we find it right there. We follow the program right there. We're also on 5 platforms, as you know, Facebook and we've got YouTube, X, LinkedIn, and we're on podcasts. We've got a large following, I was surprised, on Amazon Podcast. And you can find us anytime on bbsradio.com/. We're right there. And they made us a feature group. It was very special. They talked about us last week. So you won't find any place better in the whole world than to launch, whether you want to watch podcasts, TV backgrounds, or anything, BBS Radio TV, that's who you're going to want to go to. They love people. They're ethical. They're honest. They love God. And hey, we just love this team. You'll want to be there, be a part of that. And they're located deep in the heart of Texas. So you'll like that. So if we come left again real quickly, we're going to fly back to the west. We're going to find where the originating voice that we use on the end of our program, where the happy trails begin. In McKinney, Texas, you'll find one of our favorite pastors in Texas. And that's Ron McKinney right there. I said McKinney. Ron Greery, that's right. Ron Greer in McKinney, or if you're tired, Ron McKinney in Greer, Texas. But you'll want to look him up right there. He is with Man in the Mirror out of Florida, and Ron is a great brother in the Lord. This guy loves Jesus, and everybody that's around him for 5 minutes knows it. You want to look up his website there, Man in the Mirror. Jot that down, Ron Greer. That's on our website also. You'll want to check him out and see the things that he does. He helps men become men. And those men may become men in Christ. They become better husbands, better fathers, better teachers, better leaders, and most of all, better representations of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he does in your life. So we just love Ron, and there he is. I love these people. They bless my life every week. And Paul, we love you too as you're sitting there in St. Louis where you are in Missouri, and we're lifting up and praying for you. Now, tonight, we've got a great program for you, and we're going to be heading in there here in just a second. Many of you have had questions about this and asked about it. And, you know, we've got a great young pastor who's one of our favorite guys all in the state of Texas. He's blessed my life for years. And as you know, that is Will Hobbs. And Will Hobbs is at the Kelview Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. And he is going to speak to us on some very interesting topics. You're going to really enjoy it. We're anxious to hear from him. And Will, I want you to know here in a second, as we see your family, as you come to talk to us a minute, that I've had quite a few texts this week. They're excited to have you with us this week and to be with us and a part of it. As Will and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, we're seeing that the political world seems to be telling us what we should believe as Christians theologically. whoever and wherever we are. Instead of politics and working on laws for infrastructure, safety, commerce, legal laws for backing law enforcement to protect the people, they are busy delving into theology. They are leading into the churches, as Ron also points out so often, telling us what a woman is. I think they've lost track of things. They need the transgender and so much more that they're busy on. Maybe they should shelf that for a while and get into what it takes to take care of things like budgets and nations and world situation and this, that, and the other. So their narrative clearly states no need for God, no need for faith, no need for family, no need for church or Christian morality or absolutes. And Will states very clearly, as he did, what difficult times we are facing and what kind of courage will we need to face these difficult times. And what does that courage look like? So we're going to welcome Will on tonight as he shares with us from his heart. And I love this guy. I'm just going to say it once. He's like another son to me, but that makes me very old. But in any event, this man is a great man of God. Will, we love you. Welcome. We're going to give you the round of applause. Welcome to Raising Expectations, and share with us from your heart. Wherever there's a question, we'll just jump in with you.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you. You know, I was wondering before we came on and we talked about doing this show tonight, and as best I can tell, this is our 10th episode together. Amen. On Raising Expectations. And I might be off one or two, but I think that's about right.
Man.
So,
party.
That's a little wild. Yeah, I think we, I don't know. Can you do a screen glitter effect or something? No.
We pay very well, so you know, we can expect it.
I think we started in 2020, if I'm not. Wow. I mean, as far as you having me on, so.
That's right.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, Joe, like you said, our theme is courage for difficult times. And so maybe I could frame the conversation a little bit, and then we could talk about some ideas, kick some ideas back and forth. You guys could ask questions. Maybe I could ask questions of you. I am going to frame this around a certain specific framework, but I also wanted to just say, when we're talking about difficult times, I'm going to talk a little bit culturally, but look, I mean, this is all these principles that we're going to cover plays out on a personal level as well.
Amen.
An individual, every day, you live, you're with you 24/7, right? And so that's going to be what you need. You need courage for difficult times. Whether, I mean, look, if you're facing a job change, if you're facing being fired, if you're facing a total career shift, you don't know where your next bill payment's going to come from. You're in a tough financial time. If you're facing something like the loss of a loved one, you've just lost a spouse, a child, heaven forbid, a child. A parent, something like that. So these principles really fit no matter what you're looking at. We're going to walk through specifically a little bit of the cultural things, but feel free to talk about, you know, any and all these, guys. I always love your comments, and they're helpful. And so what difficult times are we facing? What kind of courage will we need to face them? And then immediately you have to ask the question, well, wait a second. Okay, we're facing difficult times. Obviously, I need courage. I'm going to use the terms courage and boldness interchangeably. Where is our source of courage, and where does this courage, what does it look like? So where do we get it, and what does it look like? So I want to talk about a few examples. Here's my opening illustration, okay? I like this because I hope it makes sense to you. It really resonated with me when I first heard it. It grabbed me when I first heard it. And I was listening to someone tell this story. The guy's name is Mark Hancock. You know, y'all know recently within the last, I cannot remember how many years ago it was, but the Boy Scouts losing their way. That's been a very common theme. There's been a subgroup that started separately. I said sub, that's the wrong statement. A separate group that started, that Mark Hancock started. It's called Trail Life USA. I don't know. I'm getting some nods. You guys have heard of that? It's a specifically Christian alternative to the Boy Scouts. Okay, so you've heard of Trail Life, but tell me, guys, tell me if y'all have heard this story of one of the ways that they got started. Okay, so Mark Hancock had to explain to his sons why they were leaving the Boy Scouts. That makes sense. You're involved in the Boy Scouts. Dad, why are we leaving? He had to explain this to them.
Right.
And the Boy Scouts sent them an email asking why they would not be returning. And I can't remember if it was addressed to Mark or one of the sons or both. Mark told his son, he said, all right, son, here's a project for you. I want you to think about how you should respond to this email asking why we won't be returning. So the son came back to Mark, his dad, and he said, he had, look, Dad, I've prayed about it. I've written a response, and I would love for you to read it and let me know what you think before I send it. And the dad said, man, that's great. I'm glad you did that. And this kid's wise beyond his years, apparently. The email response was three words. You weren't brave. And that, when I heard that, I mean, that really just hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know if y'all knew that backstory to it or not. But if we're talking about courage for difficult times, I'm using the term courage and bravery, obviously synonymously there. That's hits the nail on the head. You don't have the bravery to stand up for what you know is right. Now, look, you don't have to stand up in an ugly way. You should never do that. But to stand and to make a stand for truth and what's right. So real quick plug for them, Joe, if it's okay, for Trail Life USA. TrailLifeUSA.com. You can click on Find a Troop. And the Find a Troop takes you to an interactive map where you can put in your area or zip code and see if there's any local groups around you. Or it also allows you to begin the process of starting a new group. So that's TrailLifeUSA.com. So even this young boy saw the lack of courage as a core issue with Boy Scouts. I can't remember his age at the time. I wish I could. This is a great illustration, I think, of what we're facing. So where do we find courage to face these difficult times the right way? Obviously, that's a great illustration for difficult times. Let me just throw this passage at you. And then obviously we can talk a little about this. Okay, here's a great example. In the book of Acts, so we're in the New Testament, we're in the book of Acts, we're in chapter 4, and I'm going to pick up verse 13 and verse 31. So if you're dyslexic, it works either way. We're going to hit 13 and we're going to hit 31. You're at the right verse.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's good, yeah.
Acts 4:13 and then Acts 4:31. Acts 4:13 says, now when they, this is some of the Jewish leadership, okay? Now, when they saw the boldness, Peter and John are preaching. Jesus has already gone to the cross. He's already been buried. He's already risen again. He's already gone back to the Father. And so Jesus sends them out on this mission to go preach his word and repentance of sin, forgiveness of sins, all these things, the gospel, right? And so in 4:13, he says, when they, the Jewish leaders who were not believing at this point, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. So look, when you're facing pressure in this culture or a difficulty in your life, your education level does not really play into this. Education can help in certain ways, but you say, oh man, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to face that trial. No. Listen to verse 13. They were uneducated and untrained men. I mean, most of these guys were fishermen from Galilee, right? Galilee was apparently a particularly country accent. You know, today we might say hick accent because they say your accent gives you away. We can tell where you're from. They were uneducated and untrained men. It says these leaders, they marveled. They were shocked. They were floored. They realized that they had been with Jesus. See, there's the key. They're uneducated, they're untrained, but they're speaking this powerful message. They're communicating it with boldness. They're communicating it with clarity. How are they doing that? Oh, wait a second. They must have spent time with Jesus. And then verse 31, they arrest him, or they detain him, basically arrest them. We say, how would a religious leader arrest somebody today that's foreign to us? Back then, they still had a little bit of government authority, government power. Much of it was stripped from them by Rome, but they still had some. So they arrested them. They said, hey, stop doing this. Stop sharing the name of Jesus. Jesus is not the Messiah. And they say in verse 19, hey, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, we'll let you be the judge of that. They didn't yell cuss words at him. They didn't say, we don't like you. They just said, look, God told us to do this. We're doing it. I'm sorry, but you can, as soon as you let us out, we're going to do it again. So they let him out. They preach it again. If you look at verse 31, when they had prayed, so now they've been preaching, they've been let go from being arrested. They're gathered together with the church. They're communicating God's word. And it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here's the connection point. filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that lead to? Well, in the book of Acts, it predominantly leads to this word boldness. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. That is, my study Bible has it great. It says, outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech. That sounds familiar, right? And it says, it's the opposite of cowardice, timidity, or fear. I love that. So look, Acts 4. If you want boldness for difficult times, courage for difficult times, I'm using boldness and courage interchangeably, you get to know Jesus and you spend time talking with him and listening to his word.
Amen.
And his Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live out the truth and then share it with others in a very powerful and influential way. And so that's what you saw from these guys. So if we're going to have courage for these difficult times we live in, we take that same, the truth doesn't change, the principle doesn't change. We take that same principle, we pull it into where we are today. The truth plays out slightly differently. The truth doesn't change. It's fixed. It may look differently in the way that it plays out because the culture's changed, the times change, maybe there's some things shifting, although really we all struggle with the same things throughout human history, but some things have changed, right? And so that's where this boldness has to come from. Absolutely, 100%.
I would add one of the things that bravery, courage is not, is tolerance. Our churches, us as individuals, when we let's just give the most recent cultural example of the opening games. I mean, someone must not have looked at what was going to be presented, whoever authorized it, that's going to be okay. Or they did. I mean, I've heard of other cultural things they're trying to which I think are favorable things for the world, like green sustainability stuff. So the food that the athletes are eating is just vegetarian stuff. No, there's no meat, there's no protein. These are athletes. Some of them are battle sports. So yeah, they're clueless. But yeah, so I mean, it's do we sit back? And we just go, oh, okay, it's people, they want to voice their opinion, they want to belong, and God bless their soul. I feel for them, but I mean, it went beyond that, really. I mean, there were horses that were and a bull's head, and there are other symbolism involved in that whole. And I mean, some things that we didn't notice until you really look at it, the guy dancing with part of his anatomy hanging out, maybe 4 feet from a small child who's probably 7 or 8. And later on, that there's another that same child's close in that scene at the supper. Yeah, so we're not imagining. There are people that are trying to get their point across. You can't fool us. And so, do we sit back and not be brave and just, it's another country. It's what, let them be their own thing, or do we stand up? And you know what happened the day after? There was a gigantic worship. I don't know if you guys knew this, but a gigantic crowd gathered outside. Go, oh, Jesus, right? So,
There was also loss of electricity, except for one church.
one church
Yeah.
still
I
has. I
mean,
heard
not
about that.
just
Was that a real thing?
Yeah,
Yeah, they had
everything.
a blackout in the
Realms,
temple
yeah.
church.
Blackout, yeah. One church split up. The church on the hill, right, Steph?
Big
Literally.
dome.
It's so hard these days to know. Not it's not hard. It takes more diligence these days to learn which stories are real and not. And so sometimes I'll see something. Okay, that's interesting that that actually happened. Wow.
Well, I get, but I think you're right. You're spot on. And I think if the major weakness of the church is just that, is a lack of courage. It is a lack of assurance in the God that we say we believe in. It, you know, we have we it's too many of us do too many of us do the word salad and the word the mouth game, and none of us actually live it out. It and even after, with all the things like you just read about the apostles, right? Jesus told them something, they saw evidence of it, and they believed it. And no matter what, they were going to keep doing what he told them to do because they believe what he says. And I go, okay, so what's the problem with us now? We say we read it, we say we believe it, we hear it, but we don't do it or act on it. which goes back to go, you then you don't believe it, because he says, if you believe me, you'll do the things I say do. Right. Another interesting passage is in one of the favorites, but Paul's letter, writing to Timothy, right? His second letter to Timothy. All right, so he's going to die. He know he is. He's not going back. And you look at the things he writes to Timothy. I'm going, if I'm facing death and I know I'm not getting back, I'm probably going to talk about some other things other than what he tells Timothy. He never changes. But one of the things he says toward the chapter three, you know, we all know that verse where it says 3:17, right? That all scripture is breathed out by God and useful for training, for reproof, and on, right? Go back a few verses and see why Paul writes that. He tells Timothy that things are going to go worse and worse, and evil men are going to prevail. But he says one thing. He says, but all who desire to live the godly lives, right? All who desire to live for Christ will suffer persecution. He didn't say you might. He said you will. His times he's writing in is a far cry worse than what we're dealing with. But he says that if you desire to live for Christ, you will suffer persecution. Somehow we miss that and don't believe it. But then he says also to Timothy, right? Don't forget the things you learned as a child, the things you've learned from me, and the things you've heard. You've understood the scripture. You've been taught those things. And I've acted those things out and lived those for you. So it says, Timothy, your courage is wrapped up in believing what you've read and understood from the Lord. If you understand what God says, you understand his word, you've seen it lived out. He says, now therein is your courage. God is not giving you fear. He's giving you a spirit of fear, but one of sound mind, of love. What is that rooted in? It's rooted in my understanding what the word says and my believing that it is true. And when I do that, I will always do what Timothy did, stand boldly. And again, there's no instance in scripture where Timothy screamed at anyone, whether he got in a big argument with anyone, but every indication we have is he simply stood his ground and spoke the scriptures just as the apostles had. That's what we're lacking. I think you're spot on. We lack that courage to believe God is indeed who he says he is, and believe what he says is true. And our job is to keep saying it no matter what.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. No, that was great. Including on a social media platform or anywhere.
Always. Always.
It's interesting y'all brought that up. I was thinking the other day of Numbers chapter 30, and I won't read from it, but if Numbers chapter 30, if you want to look it up, it's multiple examples of making a commitment or a vow.
Yes.
And it's interesting. The principle from it is if you are hearing or being exposed or you're close to or around something that you may or may not agree with, the principle from Numbers 30 is that in that context, perhaps I can think of a few contexts where this principle would be, okay, it's not talking about that. But in this setting, in this context, that silence is consent.
Yes.
Look, I was looking this up the other day. Statutes of limitations in our legal system. You've heard of a statute. You know, you can't pursue. You can pursue civil court longer, but criminal charges, there's a limit.
Right.
Statutes of limitations are based on this principle.
Yes.
From Numbers 30. Silence during the vows of a wedding ceremony. I don't know if y'all realize that that's where that came from, is implied consent. That's why some of the pastors ask the question about anyone objecting. Yes. It's a little bit of an old school approach, but if y'all may have heard that, they still put it in movies because it allows the drama, right?
Well, some pastors still use it. So
you use it? You still use it?
Absolutely. Okay. I pause and I wait. And people almost lose their minds going, no.
Yeah,
count to five.
There's a great reel of the bride lifting up her skirt, and she's got a pistol around her thigh.
Do like, not answer.
Anybody steps up.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupt you. Sorry.
No, you didn't. You didn't know. This is great. It's that principle is in real estate law. It's called adverse possession. Y'all probably heard of it. It's when a squatter can gain rights to your property by you being silent and not doing anything about it. Right. So the principle translated to today would be something like this. If you generic the Christian, the believer, if you think you're being more spiritual by being silent about important issues, not any issue, but issues the Bible is clear on, then you're really just deceiving yourself. Now, look, am I saying that you should make a post for every single thing you see wrong around you or every single bad event that you see on the news that you're obligated to post 100%? No, that's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. In fact, if you do that, I think you're just going to live a frustrated, miserable life. Okay. I'm not saying it's 100%, but if you think you're doing the right thing by never acting to help influence people away from evil, then I think you're wrong. The culture's tactic right now, because here's why. The culture's tactic right now is to guilt trip you into being silent, into being inactive, like you guys were talking about, and to a large degree, it's working. Now, it's not working on everyone. I think there are, and I can point to some, there are plenty of examples of Christians and others in this country being a good influence, and because they are seeing things change. But if that tactic has been working on you, I would just say, I think it's time to repent for that silence and stop it. Not to repent from not posting 100% of the time of what you, no. But just to say, oh man, I never speak out, to stop that and to pray and ask God how you can be salt and light again. This doesn't mean, okay, so I should have a knee-jerk reaction and just spew hatred out there toward people I disagree with. No, that's not what I'm saying. But to continue down the path of complete silence, that's, I think, what the Bible, Numbers 30 and multiple other passages, Acts 4, would say. This is not what God designed you for,
Amen.
designed you
I
to be
can't help but think of
salt
what you might remember. They talk about that old saying, well, I'm just going to live my witness. I'm not going to speak or share when I see something wrong. I'm just going to let my light so shine before men. They'd use that out of context so that they'll
Right.
see them. And the problem with that is they never open their mouth, they never say anything, and people just make fun. The best example, though, there are times like you're saying, where if you get the right balance, like you're saying, you talk with Jesus, you're with Jesus, like you just showed in Acts. But those people, as they go through life, people around know who they are. And if they do, I agree 100% with you. If they do what you said to begin with, they're always spouting off something at them. Well, they're going to lose the validity of the life that they've lived that's made an impact on the lives around them. And the best example I know is Coach Johnny Wooden of the UCLA Bruins, 11 national championships. He's incredible. The last championship, I was still in college, it was against Kentucky, and they were down to the wire. And he would always roll his bulletin up, his score thing, and sit there and hold it like this. It was a tradition since his Indiana days. And in that game, they ran a play, they ran a layup, and he went down the center line, and it was a foul. But actually, it kind of was a foul, I thought. But and I'm rooting for UCLA. And it was at Hardin-Simmons. The dorms went crazy. And all of a sudden, he stood up, he took it, and he threw his arms up and he yelled, damn, and he threw his thing down, he stomped it, and he kicked it out on the floor. The referees went silent. The crowd went silent. I mean, you didn't hear anybody anymore yelling or screaming. They just got quiet. And the refs looked at each other, turned around, and they didn't call the foul. And UCLA won by 1 point, I think, at the end on the shot that won the game. And all of his life, they knew who he was, like people who walk with, talk with, listen to Christ. And he never talked at everything, but the quotes, the famous sayings he gave, always told people, hey, you ought to listen to this. But in the end, when he stood up, like you said, Will, he stood up, everybody listened to what he said, and he never did that again the rest of his life. He went back to it. So maybe God wants you to come out at one particular time, and what you're saying is true. He will call you to stand up strongly. The rest of the time, you stand up speaking in love, but still speaking like you're saying. I spoke too much there, but I see that across the pages of my life. And I think the older I get, the more I see all the truth and how it all jumbles out and doesn't come out jello, but comes out like it's supposed to, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the difference, the key difference makers in what we're talking about being bold and having courage and acting, but also speaking out. I think one of the key distinctions to keep in mind when we do this is that I'm some of your comments made me think of this. So I'm glad you guys phrased, and said everything you said. I need to make sure that when I do speak or post or share something or have a conversation or coffee or lunch with someone that I need to talk to, whatever it is, that I'm not just doing it for, let's say, a social media post. I'm not just doing it for the optics of how it will look. My first, now we should do things with excellence. I'm not saying that. But I'm not just doing it for the optics of how it should look. I'm doing it first and foremost for Jesus Christ because he gave me a conviction to stand on truth. You know, if you don't fall for some, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. To stand for truth. And I'm really doing it out of a conviction for a love and a respect and an obedience to Jesus, first and foremost. Then if I'm okay, if that's what's driving it, great, go for it. Let it be done in love. You can look at optics and say, what's the best way to make this post? What's the best angle to take this picture? You know, that's fine. We're not against that. I'm just saying some people, especially on social media, get so consumed in the optic in the optics. Okay, I just got to say something. That photojournalist that grabbed Trump and it looks like he was holding the thing of the flag, the string running to the flag of that. You couldn't have made a better, if you took it 1,000 times, you couldn't have made a better picture. That guy would, that's photo gold right there. But so speaking of optics, there's some optics for you, but no, you can look at all that stuff, but don't let that be your driving focus. You know, your driving focus has to be, okay, does Jesus care about this? Oh, let's say it's a you know, life. It's about human life and our right to life and human dignity. Okay, yes. Okay, then I need to speak out with boldness because he would want me to. He wants me to.
Right.
Amen.
You
Amen.
mean, so I shouldn't do it just for the likes? I mean, I want to get my likes in.
Not for the likes.
Smack him, Ron, smack him. Yeah.
You know, if you're defending the word of the Bible, you're in the right path.
Amen.
Right? Talking about, I mean, I loved what I've heard from a pastor was you got to bring 100% truth. But that's harsh, because it can be taken the wrong way with 100% love. With 100% love, and there was this great grandma that had a granddaughter that wrote to her, and she's had become trans, and she's I want to be called Andy, and she was Andy, and she wrote back this beautiful letter saying, you know, Andy, I've known you since you were a baby, and I love you, and I will always love you, and I just have a feeling, which is not is the right thing currently. That's our view medically of this is a temporary thing people are going through. That you're going to change, and I will always call you Annie. So even if I come, I'm going to call you Annie.
Wow.
I thought it was a beautiful letter from a grandma that
Yeah.
I
Amen.
mean, no matter what, but this is a temporary thing and. And that's what we're finding. I mean, you know, the whole, and there's no, and the interesting thing in the medical community is there's no surgical procedures really that these people who began these have a way of reversing what they did.
Right.
I
Yeah.
mean,
And now you have literally thousands of them coming forward. You know, talk about the
yes.
tragedy of their lives because what they thought was going to help and what people let them believe is going to help,
Make things
they
worse.
feel even worse now than ever.
And where's the media being the voice for them?
Exactly.
You
Exactly.
know?
Exactly. You know, I'll go back again to your point about speaking up. You know, we all remember that famous quote, Esther, right? You know, who knows that God has placed you in this place? So you keep silent, then people are going to die, right?
I
But
didn't think of
that,
that. That's a fantastic passage, Ron. Yeah.
because it's just that's but that theme just runs throughout the Bible. It's amazing how many times you see that come up again. You know, you don't remain silent, because if you do, then the people are going to suffer for that, right? And then we get to in Ezekiel, what he says specifically, right? If you see a man his sin, said you're to tell him, right? If you don't tell him, he dies in his sin. He says, blood is on your head. If, however, you tell him and he doesn't listen to you and dies, then you're free. But God he was very clear. Do not remain silent when you see wrong, when you see sin, because Satan and his demonic forces will overtake people, and they don't know if you don't tell them. If you know and don't tell them, Yeah, that's sin for you. The evil going on around us, and I'm passionate about this.
Very passionate.
It's one of my pet peeves with Christians, with church, period.
Yeah.
Because it's and I'm screaming at times, but they are dying. How do you not say anything? I have people who complain about their next door neighbor. They're weird. They're irritating. Blah blah blah. I'm like, but they're lost.
Yes.
So why don't you tell them? Why don't you build a relationship and share with them? Why?
Yes.
Because of inconvenience or the fact that they might reject you. I mean, why does that make sense to you? You have an Ezekiel, and then remember Jude. Jude says, snatch some from the fire.
Right? Yeah.
There are folks on their way to hell. His instruction is, you speak out, you tell them that you might snatch them out.
Yeah.
And my question again to Christians is, how do you allow people to go to hell? How do you allow them to die? How do you allow them to suffer greatly under Satan's attacks?
Without at least telling
silent?
Them.
Yeah, just tell them.
Whenever Jesus walked in, that old saying for us too is that when you walk in a room, you walk in a room filled with darkness, like he's saying, in Christ, you become the light in that room. And if you become the light in that room, like Tank was saying, it's how you're going to love that person, that grandmother's letter and other things. The love of Christ has to come out of us, not some mealy mouth love. But the sword of the Lord comes as the Holy Spirit does the touching of the heart. But we, like Ron's always said that, but we need to be the light in the darkness. And again, it's the life that you live and things. I see. Amen. You just got to get older, guys. The older I get, the more I can look back through the tunnel of time and say that I'm not missing the guy that was there. Like that old song, I'm not missing you, huh, Will? Bill loved that old song. But no, because he continues to mold. And every time you begin to think you've got all the answers, that's when you got to go back and say, gee, Lord, I need a recourse. And you fill me in here again. Because he says, hey, you're ready. Let me show you something you never thought of. Wow, God, you never showed me.
You know, I just relate to that personal testimony, Tank. So I have a niece that my sister's lost two children already. One daughter at 25, and then another one just recently, the other niece at 43, died of a stroke. The problem is she's lived the last probably 25 years as a lesbian. Now, she and I were, before she died, she and I were Facebook friends about four times. She deleted me because of something I said, and then she sent me a request again, right? But it's one of the things in our family that my sister did and that my wife and I did, no matter what the family gathering was, which she always came, I'm not going to give any room to you and your lover. I love you. What you're doing is sinful. I'm never going to agree with it, right? Now, I can tell you other family members, when she died this last year, I can tell you the guilt that a lot of people are gripped with in our family because they went along and would not tell her.
Yeah.
We've had two cousins who also live lives as homosexuals. But the one thing that the entire family knows, the two green-headed people, Uncle Ronnie and Auntie Roz, was always, you know, sort of mean and sticklers until they die.
Yeah.
So they die in their sin, and now you have blood on your hand.
Yeah.
So I it's one of those things that we insist on. And my sister's the same way. She's never treated her differently. We never treated her different. But the thing is, there was never, ever a question about whether or not Uncle Ronnie and Auntie Roz was accepting and going along. No, we weren't. But we're never never mean about it. But again, it's just one of those things. Again, it's like here's one other indictment. I'm sorry, and I'll
close. Yeah, then I get tank. Don't lose that thought. Hold on.
Go ahead, Tank. Go ahead. Go. Sorry.
No, I'm agreeing with you. It's like love can be harsh. I mean, the example I always give people is you've got a 3-year-old, and they're about to run into the street. You grab them by the hair in their head, and you pull them back. Someone down the block looks like, and I'm a child abuser. They didn't know that was saving their life, right?
Right.
So it depends on the soundbite or the photo opportunity. But
the car's coming down on him.
I have my three oldest in the living room at 2 o'clock in the morning, like back in college again. They're in between. And we're talking about Jesus and that. And My oldest, who'd been on a mission trip, is well. Well, you know, I'm not sure whether I totally believe it. I like panic. I go, "Didn't you go to hell?" The other two fell out of their seat. Like, oh, Dad didn't cut any punches on that one.
You were direct, and you're not normally that direct. But all of our older kids froze, and they were like,
"Yeah,
you really
they knew that, right?"
Dad? And he's like, yeah. "Yes," and I don't want that. And they were all listening.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I one of the most embarrassing things I saw, I got the clip and used it in a group actually. You know, the Penn and Teller. What's it?
Oh, I've seen that, Ron.
You seen that video?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Nothing's more indicting than that. This guy is an avowed atheist, always and been for decades. And he tells the story how impressed he was with a Christian. Some guy came to one of his shows. He was complimentary. He talked to him. And then he gave him a copy of a Bible.
Yeah.
He gave him his telephone number, his email, and wanted to call me if you want to talk about it. But he shared the gospel with him.
Yeah.
Now, this comedian, I mean, the magician rather, he says he's never going to believe it, but his deal is he was so impressed with this guy. And he says that that's the problem he had the rest with other Christians, that this guy loved him enough to tell him. And his whole point was like, you Tank, if I see a truck barreling down on somebody in the middle of the street, what kind of person am I if I don't go out and try to rescue this guy out in front of the truck? He said, that's the problem he has with Christians. If what you believe is that true, and if it's true, then why don't you tell people?
Yeah.
And you listen to that video, and it, I mean, I'm telling you, I get convicted down to my toes.
I think he said something like, how much do you have to hate me to not tell me?
Yes. Yeah.
That struck me like a ton of bricks.
Yes.
Our youngest child was living his best life camping on the coast of California during the summer. And we would rarely hear from him. And we got a text message, hey, can I get baptized? Other text messages were like, what's your credit card number? So that tells you, you know, the communication we got. And we said, yes, you can get baptized. And he was baptized at, you know, like 9 or 10 in the backyard. And so we knew because he'd watched the process. I baptized his girlfriend actually a few months ago. So he heard me questioning and going through the whole thing. Well, he gets home and we're like, are you going to tell us about this whole situation? And he said, you know what I loved about this guy that baptized me? His name's Tracy. He actually said we should have him on the show, which I thought was really cute. But he said, he told me most believers don't realize that they're supposed to be disciples, that when you make this decision, you are now taking on that you are going to share with other people that they need to have. Right. And so we also talk about, of course, it says that in the Great Commission, but a lot of people are dismissing it. Oh, it's my pastor's job. Oh, it's no, it happens in these smaller groups of community. Or like you said, the example of the magician to the one person, it's not going to happen in these huge audiences. It's in relationship. Right. And we have to tell people we care, and we have to tell them where they're misguided. But if we're screaming at them, probably not going to work, right?
I think people scream because they're cowards and they don't want to go through the icky work of building a relationship with people.
It's hard. People are ready.
Yeah. And you don't have to preach sermons and hit them over the head. One-on-one with everybody, your neighbor, whoever it might be, stand up and tell them Jesus loves them. And then when they say, what do you mean by that? Then you run. No.
Yes.
And you open your Bible. That's what they do. What do I do then? You just tell them what your life means. Your life is your testimony. So get in the Word. Your spiritual life will only be as deep as your prayer life. So you better talk to God about it, because anything problem over your head is under His feet. He knows how to take care of that. We're going to have to jump in here for just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to do our commercial for you. We've been
that clock
here. Yeah, and we never let Will go. We just keep him coming to lots. That's great. We're going for the big 11 coming up next. You know, bbsradio.com/racing expectations. That's our station. And Steph, would you like to share a little on this? We'd appreciate it. It'd be great.
You can see, if you're watching, you can see on the screen there. If not, you can just go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. At the top, there's ways that you can donate. We appreciate that. It takes money to do all these things. We have amazing crew at BBS that helps us, and they deserve to be paid. And we honor that. We like to pay them for the work that they do. As you scroll down, you can learn about the show. If you want to give snail mail, you can that way, but you keep going down and you'll find prior shows so you can listen to past episodes. And if you keep going, you can learn about each one of us as co-hosts, how to connect with us on different social platforms. Pastor Joe's social platforms also show these live. So if you want them in a different format, you can find them there if you just connect with him on his social media. And then if you keep going, see TJ is so good. See what he does there so you can see it. There's the different books that Pastor Joe and Craig have made. And so we just love you going there and kind of checking out all the information. And there's actually other wonderful shows as well on BBS Radio. So keep us in mind when you do your, monthly giving or skipping that little coffee. It really helps and adds up. So
In fact, TJ, if you've got it, they just put out a, they made our show last week a, it's got a special name. It was a show that they put out all over everywhere, just about our show on BBS. I forget the name, but BB, he knew, and I've got, they sent it to me Friday. It was really something. Y'all did a great job. Anyway, it was really special. I'm just going to take my word for it, but it was really good. You'd be surprised what they did with that. So, Will, we've got about 2 and 2.5 minutes. Give us a word and give us a thought and close us out on where we've been going. Appreciate
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I did want to ask if we had time. Let me just share real quickly the commitment level of this courage. Okay, this is great illustration. Hebrews 10:23 tells us to hold tightly onto our confession of Jesus as Lord. It says this: let us hold fast the confession. That's saying the same thing God says about something, of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, that's God, is faithful. So the application would be, don't let any type or amount of pressure move you away from what you say you believe. And here's the quick illustration. James O'Keefe was on the Eric Metaxas show. Now, even James O'Keefe will admit he can be a little bit of a drama queen when he's in front of the camera. I think he would admit that. But he was on the Eric Metaxas show, Socrates in the City. He was talking about facing pressure and threats to back down from sharing the truth and exposing darkness. Ephesians 5:11 tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That word expose in the Greek means to correct by word or action. Love it. It's what we're talking about. Okay, so many people will cower to a threat. James O'Keefe is talking about facing threats for doing investigative journalism. Many people will cower to a threat or accept a bribe to back down. You've heard stories about that. Now, listen to what he said because it's perfect here. He said, if your price is not your life, then you are for sale.
Amen.
So
Amen.
he said, if you're going to be a truth teller, your price has to be your life. Anything
Amen.
less, it shouldn't be anything less. And I think he's exactly right. That's the type of courage that we should all have.
Say it one
Every
more time, Will. That's great. Yeah,
every
give it
apostle
one. proved that.
Yeah,
Yeah, he
if
did.
you're,
That's right. Give it one more time, Will. That was great.
yeah, if your price is not your life, then you are for sale.
Amen. Amen.
Completely agree with that aspect of what he was saying.
You
Amen.
can't cancel that culture out of our life, folks. Not when you belong to Jesus.
Amen.
Just sell out. Your whole life belongs to him. And think about that every day. Whatever you're worried about doesn't matter. He's going to take care of it. You're in the grip of his grace and he's working in your life.
Yep.
Will, that was great. Really appreciate it. Love you, brother. We're so glad here. And your precious family, Lauren and the girls, they're just two little angels. So
They're
just,
so cute.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
so cute. Yeah. Love putting those pictures up. Everybody wants to know, oh, I got one back today. It said AWWWWW. Guess they couldn't spell ah, but I thought it was great. That
That's
picture.
phonetic, Joe. It's the
Yeah,
phonetic spelling.
yeah, right. That was it. So you're always in our prayers, and we'll be back in touch real soon. We got to book you in again here for the not too far down the road and keep right on going because everybody will be asking. All All
right, we're
right.
looking
at see where we're looking at the time is out. So we're gonna ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We don't just say thank you so much. That was Elvis's line. Ours really is very much, but we just want to thank you for being with us. So we'll see you next week. God bless you and keep you. And remember, be ready to share your faith in courage. God has someone wants to share it. We're going to send you off with our theme song for the night, and may your week go just like this. Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This.
Happy trails to you Until we meet again. Good
Amen.
night, folks. God bless.
A great one. All the way. God bless and keep you. Thanks. Bless you, Will.
See you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.